Welcome. This is Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You're listening to Live Financial Talk Radio.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you've got a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Got a question about when and how to turn on your Social Security. If you got a question where someone just gave you a pension buyout offer at work, if you got a question on what you should do with your 401k or how you should set it up, 504-260-0995. Gregor, if you don't mind, I just want to jump right into the top story of the day. Second quarter growth came in this morning, 7:30 this morning Central Time, to a robust 4.1%.
And I am thrilled to announce that in the second quarter of this year, the United States economy grew at the amazing rate of 4.1%. We're on track to hit the highest annual average growth rate in over 13 years. And I will say this right now, and I'll say it strongly, as the trade deals come in one by one, we're going to go a lot higher than these numbers, and these are great numbers.
Pretty good numbers. Opening thoughts there, just 4.1, a little bit above expectations for the most part, but nothing too stellar.
I'm excited about it. Been 3.8, 3.9, 4, 4, 5. It is all good stuff because it brings us into new territory, which we need to be here. We should be here.
Well, that's a big jump because the previous quarter, I think it was revised down and it ended up at 2.2, 2.3%. So to have this guy coming at 4.1%, if you just take the last four quarters, though, in a row, the last calendar year of quarters, it averages out to 2.9%. So the case looks pretty good that we're going to beat 3% this year if we can keep any of this going, some of this momentum going. But you know what? 2.9% average over the past four quarters, that feels about right. That feels like the reasonable economic expansion we've been having. This basically cements the case, though, that the Federal Reserve will do another rate hike. When's that next one? Is that when September is the next rate hike meeting? And that means the range will go up to 2%. All right, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer, though, because this is a great number, and I'm ecstatic about it, and there's reasons to believe that this could be a stellar breakout year for the United States economy. But we still have a semi-trade war looming with China.
That could be the downer on this. Could affect the next quarter.
Yeah, and it hasn't been on long enough. These tariffs actually hadn't been on long enough for the pain to register here. And look, we were talking about yesterday how we just made the deal with the EU. We're about to, or the talk is we're close to finalizing a deal with Mexico. I'm sure we'll slap something together with Canada real quick. But if China is going to be a holdout, that could be a problem. And unlike the European Union or Mexico, their leaders aren't elected, so they don't have to worry if there's going to be some short-term pain. They're not looking just two years down the road to the next election. They can play a little bit more long ball, and if they don't want to budge on this, they can make it painful for us in the short term. Am I putting too much stock in that? I'm not trying to be negative. It's just because I turn around and I look at that, and then I look at what happened in the market today, and when the 4.1 number came out, you think, okay, well, I'll look at the pre-market numbers. It's probably shooting up. And it wasn't. So it's like, all right, well, when the opening bell hits, it'll shoot up. And it didn't. So that tells me the market had this all priced in, and this is kind of what they expected. And they sort of feel like me. Yeah, this is a good number. I'm not gonna get too excited about it, though, because there still are problems ahead. Little shock, though, the market was actually down on a day like today.
Yeah, I was too. They generally would have been excitement, but we have, you know, problems in the tech sector with Facebook, record sell-off. Twitter was hit hard today. And so maybe some of those expectations are reset. It's affected most of FANG, most of the FANG stocks as well. Tariffs are still back of the mind, and maybe, well, it kind of shows that it was priced in, but we have negative sentiment. And we had positive news with the tariffs. The EU basic agreement, you know, the UK, we're going to do a deal. Canada, Mexico. Mexico was positive news coming out of that. And I think China doesn't have any choice but to come around on this. So that's, we'll see what next week brings. Just maybe it was a hot summer Friday that caused it.
They looked pretty miserable out there, even though it was, I guess, 8:30 in the morning our time when they went out and they did the little speeches where I played the audio clip from. They're out there in their full suits, wearing three shirts and a jacket, and just sweating it up out there. They wrapped it up and got back inside as quickly as they could. But in the victory lap, though, ton of optimism. I mean, he reiterates the positive news out there. You know, unemployment is at a historic low. Black unemployment all-time low. Hispanic unemployment all-time low. Women unemployment lowest it's been in 65 years. Wages are on the way up. More people are entering the workforce, but there's still the gray cloud. There's still the tariff war. There's still the debt. There's still the out-of-control entitlement spending. There's still the mess going on in the healthcare sector.
I'd say earnings was more of a effect today, negative earnings that we were seeing. This was really a big week on reporting, and it really came back mixed, caught headlines, and I think that's a continuation of that, even though we had positive GDP, but then they said, well, with the tariffs, it's probably going to bring it back down next, and you know what? It might not. Going on the other side, we might see this kind of number on the next quarter, which would, and let's say the last quarter is lower, it gives us a chance to finish the year and break through 3% is what I'm optimistic about. Okay, then maybe we have a lower one next quarter and then the rise back up in the last. And it, just saying, tariffs do have effect, but we also have, you know, a podium in September at the Federal Reserve meeting. And then, of course, in December, so expecting a rate hike in September as it goes, because there is no, well, there is a meeting, August 31st through the 1st, July, August. And I'm not expecting anything positive there. Well, we actually already, well, we're about to deal with that coming up next week. But
that doesn't fit your podium theory, right?
Right. Going with the podium theory, we won't see a rate hike until September.
Watch that be accurate. And that's what it's setting
if
up.
This is, yeah, and it fits in with two more rate hikes forecast. Unless they're going to go further, you could kind of say with a GDP of reading of that might be, are they going to do it next week? I just don't think so.
Well, I like the pace that we're on. Like I said, if you round in all the last four quarters and take the average, it's at about 2.9%. But if you just look at 2018 so far, we're two quarters in the books. One was 2.2%, or was it still 2.3? I think it got revised down again on this last report.
What, the previous quarter?
Yeah.
Was revised up.
Oh, so it's back to 2.3? Or 2.4, where did it?
I didn't see the number. I just know it was revised upward.
Let's use 2.3 then, and then this one's 4.1. So we're averaging 3.2. We're averaging above 3 so far. So if we can just keep where we're at now or just repeat what we did in the first 6 months and the last 6 months, this will be the best year that we've had since 2005. And I like the sound of that. All right, I didn't want to be too negative on there because it's positive numbers, but the market was cautious, and that made me cautious. And you look around, and there's reasons to be cautious. You had mentioned earlier some of the earnings has been less than as stellar as it has been for this month so far. But you were mentioning the cybersecurity sector, the tech sector, giving us some problems. And I don't know the details on some of these companies, but I saw just generally cybersecurity stocks were having a rough go. Do we have an explanation on that, or is this is too inside baseball for me to understand on what's going on?
It's looking at growth of accounts and how they're looking at how many active users are those numbers changing, or, you know, it's kind of where you start judging something and then kind of say, well, maybe that's not really telling us. Maybe it is, you know, for example, signups versus active users. You know, I think a big problem with Twitter is fake accounts. So when you start looking at what are the active users, how is that changing? There might be more of telling you the truth of what's going on with that company regarding online usage as well. Not necessarily keep adding on subscribers. Oh my gosh, they're growing ridiculously. And is that for real?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be for real, because they actually lost 1 million average monthly active users in the first quarter. That means a million fewer people on average per day or per month used it. And that's not a growing company. That's not a company maintaining. That's a company in decline. And they've always had problems making money. They've never really been turning profits over here. And look, if Trump ever said, I'm going to get off Twitter and I'm going to go to somewhere else, if he says, I'm going to go to Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook, it is over for Twitter. And my guess, that guy is propping it up and giving it so much daily top of mind references that I shudder to think where this company would be without the president. All right. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you can call Gregory 504-260-0995, or you can send us a text message or give us a call with a little shortcut there on the Winning It Life app. Also on the Winning It Life app, you can catch our podcast. You can catch some of yesterday's show. You can go back and listen to last Saturday's show and hear Gregory's fight with a raccoon, or you can just use it to call the show. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
This is Winning It Life. Oh, you know it's Friday. Time for the weekend. Right here, wrapping up July as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. We're going to be on to the rest of this hour talking about some money. We're going to talk about Social Security a little bit here. I'm going to update you a couple other numbers on the GDP I found interesting. Join the conversation. We'll let you in. 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. Your wallet's best friend. That'll help you out. You can text the show, call the show, email the show, check out the dashboard, listen to podcasts. It's easy. Just go to your app store and type in Winning at Life. Let's see, GDP numbers. We were talking also in the previous segment about the first quarter being updated, and it was picked up from, what was that? 2% to 2.2% of real GDP. How do you like that? Real GDP.
New people, real just means it's adjusted for inflation.
Yeah. Okay. For 1929 to 2012, the average annual growth rate of the real GDP was 3.2%, unrevised from previously published estimates.
For what was the time frame on that?
1929 to 2012.
Did we have to start it right before the Great Depression?
Well, that's the number they're publishing. You know, ask the government.
Okay.
This is a .gov site.
Fair enough.
So I got to roll with what they put out there. Far more recent period, 2007 through 2017, the growth rate was 1.5%.
That's now, sad.
We could pick another time. How about 2012 through 2017? The annual growth rate, real GDP, was 2.2%.
Better.
And those are unchanged numbers, by the way.
Better, but not stellar.
Yeah. So just a little more out there. So this 4.1, it's like, wow, been a while since seeing a number like that out there. So we've been told Social Security's going broke.
Heard about that.
It's running out of money. It's going to be paying out less than it's taking in. We need more people working, getting paid more money. All that would help a bit. So what do you do in that world? What if you're like worried about it? Like, gosh, what if? Because sometimes I'll have people tell me like, what if, you know, this thing, it's going to go away. I'm start taking it. I had one client a couple years ago. That was his stance. I'm taking it now. It might not be there down the road. So he turned it on as soon as he turned 62 in that case. And this was interesting because he was one of those that didn't need to turn it on then because he had been, would have been better off far waiting. So, or, you know, by 2000, the ratio of workers had fallen to 3.4 workers per retiree. And today, Social Security estimates that it's 2.6 workers per retiree. So what are they going to do to fix that? Social Security in the U.S., Social Security tax amounts to about 12.4% of a worker's salary. So when the financial burden of a single retiree's benefits is paid by just 2.6 workers, we're not going to have enough tax revenue to pay benefits unless taxes on those workers are dramatically increased. How does that feel, James?
I don't like the sound of that at all.
You don't like the sound of that? Or benefits for retirees are slashed. Guess what? Who doesn't like that? Retirees don't like the sound of that. So probably to fix this, maybe a combination of the two. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean current retirees will be affected, but over time, they're going to make changes by probably, for example, increasing the full retirement age might be one of the effects of that. Any other deeming strategies that are left, which isn't much, could be taken away as well. So the bottom line, if it's running out of money, what should we do? Or if you're questioning, oh, what if it's not there? What if they're not going to pay what they say they're going to pay? Look, I think it's going to be there. I think it's going to pay out what they've promised you. I do think taxes are going to go up probably on both sides of the payroll. And I think down the road, full retirement age is adjusted for those. So what can you do in light of Social Security going broke? What would you guess, James?
Save your own money.
So start putting more money away for retirement. That's a key thing. And especially when you have time, earlier you start, the more you end up with. And regardless of whatever point you're at, put away extra money, work a little bit more. If you're not saying, well, you know, I just don't make enough to save. Well, start working more. Uber. What was this? I saw this, some weird name, Wait X, Wait R, a service.
Oh, the Waiter food app. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw somebody wearing that where I dined the other day and I was like, I hadn't even looked that up. How does that work? But they're obviously doing it for money.
Yeah, and Uber already copied them. It's called Uber Eats. You can go get someone to go pick you up some takeout.
Waiter was first then.
Yeah, the Waiter app was first. And okay. AITR. They just skip the E for some reason.
Yeah. So you could do so by making some extra money and cutting back on some things and getting that money put to work. So what's the next thing you should do? Set up a better retirement structure. One thing that helps efficiency on accumulating money for retirement, and we all have to think about it. You know, we're not talking about those that are in their 50s or 60s putting what we're talking about those in the 20s and 30s. Look, you're going to be working longer as far as, you know, this retirement, so-called retirement age of 65. It's not going to be there for you unless you sock away some money, because Social Security is not turning on for you around then. It's going to be later.
It will be a luxury of the affluent.
Yeah. So you have to have a better retirement structure. One of them is to create efficiency, and that's like company plans. If you don't have a company plan, create your own. Start putting money in the IRA, or if you're younger, better yet, Roth. So you're taking distributions in the future that aren't taxed. And if your employer's matching it, you don't tell me you haven't done it. Like, you know, I hadn't got around to filling out the paperwork, but they do match. Well, you should be getting that. If they're matching 100% up to 4%, you need to be doing that. Pre-tax eases the burden on you, because you're doing it pre-tax. You're not after-tax dollars, so it actually reduces your taxable income, which means they're helping you do that. So that's something you've got to think of doing also. And then become a better investor. You know, as far as tax structure should be, and I think this ties together, becoming a better investor is you got to avoid losing money. Be better with it on investing. Make smart decisions. Don't make bad ones. Watch out for high fees and penalties. But going into two and three, the structure and that being a better, start thinking about taxes. Build multiple streams of income and build tax efficiency in there. How can you develop more tax-free income? You probably should have 7702 structure. You know, one way to think of that, you should have Roth, but it's also creating Roth on steroids is a way to think about that. Putting money, we talked about 32-year-old putting in, what was the number? $500 a month for 30 years and then taking out 30 years income. What number was that?
1.8 million.
No, on 500, it's like 900,000 coming out.
Okay.
Untaxed income. Because
you did two scenarios.
And if you double that to 1,000 a month, instead of 6,000 a year to 12,000 a year, 500 a month or 1,000 a month, we double that number. Oh, here it is right here.
Did I have it right?
Yeah, 1,081,000 in distributions. Untaxed distributions.
Oh, not 1.8, 1.08.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if, once again, if you did 1,000 a month, that's 2 million in distributions. That now we're talking about some income, and that should be one of your sources. And then, yeah, you're probably going to have Social Security as well. It just can't be your primary. But I was looking at a chart here as well. How are we doing on time? We've got another chart. Horrible on time. So we're going to go take this break, but then I'm going to talk to you about a chart here I'm looking at from the Retirement Institute.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Live Financial Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. We're going to talk a little bit more Social Security this segment. Well, might even the rest of the show. However, we have a hotline you can call in to ask financial questions. Become a part of the Winning at Life Nation. Download the app, but you can join the conversation just like Mary from Poplarville has. She called 504-260-0995.
Hey, Mary in Poplarville, you're going to be next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Mary?
All right, this is kind of a complicated question. I have never invested money before. I was married for a long time, and I worked really hard, and I gave my husband the money that I had to invest for me. Unfortunately, he invested it himself and ran off with my best friend. But no problem. I found some things that I want to invest in. My question is, should I get a fiduciary, or should I find someone that could help me to invest in this particular item and know that I'm not being ripped off? Okay, that's my question.
Well, can we talk about this particular item?
Yes. Well, kind of, sort of. Two or three of my friends in South Mississippi and I were talking about it one day, and it's a, oh, goodness, I don't know how to explain this. Anyway, it's something that we could invest in that she said that started gaining a lot of momentum about 6 months ago. It was 0.0332 cents per share. Now, I don't know much about shares or anything, but she said that her shares now are up to $6 a share. That's how much they're worth now. And this.
So what's this ticker symbol of this share? Do you know the ticker symbol, what that is?
Honey, I don't even know what that
What is the name of the stock? Because it's obviously was a penny stock.
Yes.
Is it 6 cents a share now, or is it $6 a share?
No, it's $6 a share. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of it. She just told me about it a couple of hours ago, and we're supposed to get together tomorrow and talk about it. I'm not really sure on a lot of things when it comes to money matters. My husband took care of all that, but I'm ready to learn, and I'm ready to do this myself.
Okay. Hold on, Mary. How much money are we talking about putting into stuff like this?
Well, it's very meager, I'm afraid. At first, I'll be putting in about $100 at a time.
Okay. How much emergency money do you have?
Not very much. I've got $2,000 in a savings account. I kind of got left with close to $100,000 worth of bills and income tax because he didn't pay income tax, and I had to pick all that up and work and do all that myself. But that's okay. I'm not worried about any of that. I'm ready to start doing things myself. Like I said, I'm 68 years old, but I can still learn.
Right. And that's what you should do. You should learn more of what's going on, start putting money away. This sounds like penny stocks initially. You got to be careful with those. You've got to understand what your risk is for the market, because if you put money, this $100 a month you're starting out with, and maybe you increase it a little bit, but let's say in a year you lost most of it in what you were investing in, how would that make you feel?
Well, to tell you the truth, I do have the $100 a month to spend if I cut corners a little bit here and there on, you know, like going out and having a good time, so to speak, Coca-Colas and things like that. So I can spare the $100, and I thought about it today, and I thought, okay, if I lose that money, I'm really not going to hurt bad because I still have an excellent job. I'm in excellent health. And I'm getting my Social Security.
Well, I would find out more. They're your friends. Talk to them about what's going on and find out about your exposure. Be careful at getting carried away, too excited, and putting too much money in that could affect you down the road. Be careful. Learn as you go. Do some research. You learn a little bit more. Call into the show. You can call my office as well and ask some questions. And what you've got to also, when they're telling you the good stuff, you say, come on, what's the bad? What's the downside? What am I not getting here? What are you not telling me? Or what is it they don't know? So also you can be optimistic, but also be skeptical at the same time.
Parker long enough to be kind of skeptical and ask the right questions. I have a home and 11 acres of ground that is paid for, and the money that I save now, excuse me, the money that I save now is, you know, it's building up a little bit of money every month or so, and I'm not really going to hurt if I lose that $100 a month. And I thought it'd be, if this is going the way she says it's going, then I think it's going to be a good thing to do.
Okay. Well, I think it's okay with what you're trying to do, but if you get to a point where you're trying to put a bunch of money in it, sell land to invest or borrow money, you need to be careful with that thinking and give me a call. But exactly. Otherwise, this is kind of a $100 a month experiment. If you choose to do that instead of dining out and having some colas, that's okay. But just be careful with doing larger amounts and being a novice.
Get as much information as you can on this investment. And yeah, run it by someone. Run it by a fiduciary. If you know one, cool. If not, Gregory's a fiduciary. Get a second opinion before you do this. And Gregory, this already triggers what happened earlier this week on the show. This sounds like perfect piece of advice from Woody Boyd. Remember that one?
Well, all right. Then it's one professional to another. Come on. I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. Something's going to go wrong. You're all going to blame me.
No.
All right, well.
Hey, Wood, do you want in?
I don't think so. You know, when I left home, my father gave me some very sound advice. Never trust a man who can't look you in the eye. Never talk when you can listen. And never spend venture capital on a limited partnership without a detailed analytical fiduciary perspective.
There you go. It's all about the perspectives, Mary. You heard it from Woody. All right, back to the Social Security situation here.
It's a situation.
Well, we're just doing a hard pivot here. Yeah.
Let's see. Where is that chart? I was looking at. Here it is. Okay. Yeah, this is from the Retirement Institute. They had done a study to a point that 69% of baby boomers, a generation of individuals who are either in or approaching retirement, expect Social Security to be a major source of retirement income, according to a report from the Institute. In contrast, just 28% of those surveyed expect an employer pensions, the next source of major income, to provide a main chunk of their retirement pay. So let's see if I can enlarge this a little bit. There we go. See, it's interesting. They've got what's colored in here on the chart, major source, minor source, not a source, and don't know. So as far as Social Security, as I just mentioned, these boomers are expecting Social Security to 69% of them expect it to be a major source. As far as those that expect it to be a minor source, 26% is the number there. Now, employer pensions, only 28% of surveyed expected those to be a major source of income. 50% expected it to not be a source. So that's kind of, over half the people don't have pensions. So it's.
And never expect to have a pension. Yeah,
it's I'm not one of them. Source. Okay, how about defined, and pensions are defined benefit plans as well, just to get that, have that cleared up. Because the next we're talking about defined contribution plans. So that's like your 401k. 56% do not consider that to be a source of income. That's a little bit surprising. 22% expect that to be a major source. It just shows you how many people are not saving in plans.
Yeah, about 7 out of 10, really. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. That's the number to call Gregory over here, Hall of Fame financial advisor. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio, oh, 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 oh.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. Daily Wrap. We do this every evening at 7 o'clock. And guess what? We're going to do it 3 hours tomorrow as well from 10 to 1. That's the weekly wrap of the show. So continuing the Daily Wrap now, you can join the conversation like Mary did and call us. 504-260-0995. Let's see if we can help you win with your money. We went on the break. We're talking about the importance. I'm Gregory Ricks. James Parker's here. Hi. We're talking about the survey done by the Retirement Institute, and it's just 69% of boomers are expecting Social Security to be a major source of income. 26% are expecting it to be a minor source. And then we drop down to defined contribution plans, which they're everywhere as far as company plans go. 22% expect that to be a major source of income, and 18% consider it a secondary. We continue on, say, personal investments other than workplace retirement or IRAs, 22% expect those to be a major source. IRAs, 21% are relying on that as a primary source, backing it up. And personal savings, 20%. Just kind of interesting. Social Security numbers, when you start looking into this stats, it tells you it fits in with the number that we know. What, 62% have $100,000 or less saved for retirement. You know, some of the problems there, and we'll probably talk about this further tomorrow morning, but, you know, some of the problems is, you know, people have these myths. You know, it's best to claim early. You have to claim benefits at retirement. No, you don't. You can turn on the benefits later. I was having a discussion with a couple yesterday. For all purposes, they're both now retired, but they were both planning to wait to age 70. Now, she's younger than her husband, so her FRA is still like 7-8 years out, and was thinking about going to 70, which means her FRA was going to be age 67, then defer to 70. But being she's retired early, the numbers are not accurate for when she retires because that income's not continuing as the assumptions are on the Social Security report. So she's probably not going to have a higher number than him. So we were talking about, well, she's got a pretty good number to turn on at 62. And let's just say that's a little over 2,000 a month, 25,000 a year is her number. And I said, by deferring that 8 years, you're giving up $200,000 in income, and you're not going to create the highest Social Security check that's already set in position. And he's going to wait to 70 to create that. So that was just some of the discussion when you start looking at the numbers correlated to their assets. And Social Security is not their primary sources of income there. But why give up that money? Because at some point, statistically, he's going to die first, and she's switching to the larger check. So they're just giving up money in that case by turning it on, which conflicts because also it's best to claim early. No, it isn't. One of them's claiming as late as he can, and she's going to turn it on early because the math dictates that. But you always have to look at that situation. Just can't go out there and make an assumption and just say, wow, I've got to turn it on now, or I've got to wait. Or everybody going, oh, I've got to turn it on early. You know, going back to early, typical couple will receive more than $1 million in Social Security benefits over their lifetime. Chances are Social Security is the most valuable retirement benefit that you have. So you need to take time to plan it. We're talking about a bunch of money here when you're doing that. Another myth is marital status doesn't matter. Well, I think it matters a lot. I just explained a couple situation that we had a discussion about that yesterday. And I've talked about, I'll tell you something else. We also discussed required minimum distributions being an impact on this couple also. But marital status is very important because you have to consider the spouse in this. And can you figure this out on your own? And that's what another myth is. Oh, this is, I don't need any help. I'll just turn it on. Well, I'm not charging you a fee to help you with it, but we flat think people need guidance and help to make this decision and to correlate it to your assets. And if you turn it on and regret it, you do have a little bit of time to change your mind. So keep that in mind. People don't think they can change their mind. And we kind of talked about this, I think, last week as far as another one of our Social Security tips, because I promised last night I was going to give one, and I've given this out, but it's worth repeating. You should be checking on your, and this is something we gave a while back. I'm trying to throw a bunch here in at once. Look, we want you to turn on your Social Security account, ssa.gov. You should be the one to turn it on instead of somebody else signing up for it. Like you said, James, they already know a lot about you, and they're going to ask you questions that only you're going to know, hopefully, that it's somebody else that doesn't know this and sign up for you. With that said, it doesn't matter the age you should sign up. Why? Your Social Security benefits are based on the highest 35 years of earnings, and you need to make sure they're crediting it correctly. We had somebody call the show the other day asking about that. That is a few years back. And I said, that's not going to matter. But first of all, it wasn't going to be in their top 35 years, the year that they were speaking of, because you get credit for your highest 35 years, not 35 consecutive years, the highest 35 years.
Nice and generous.
Yeah. And if they make an error or don't credit it properly, you have 3 years, 3 months, and 15 days to get it corrected.
You remember that ridiculous timeline?
Yeah, it's like, when's your required beginning date on required minimum distributions? It's April 1st following the year in which you turn 70 and a half. So you got to figure out when you turn 70 and a half, and then the year following, make sure you don't miss April 1st. Yeah, they could have even made it more complicated, but 3 years, 3 months, and 15 days, you can get that correct. That's why you should be checking it every year.
Hey, so you know how we talk about one of the ways they're going to fix Social Security on the sly, because this is politically palatable, is they're going to give you cost of living increases that are not keeping up with inflation. So that's a de facto cut of your benefits. And just everyone nodding? You're nodding too? Okay, good. Well, there's a group that went back and they did some math. The group's called the Senior Citizens League. And they went, okay, let's see if we go back to the year 2000, we see what the average benefit is. We put the cost of living increase versus actual inflation and see how much the purchasing power went down. The cost of living increases made your check go up 46% over the last 18 years, but the aggregate increase of 39 key items on inflation, 96.3% is the inflation that you have faced. So based on what the average retired worker was earning in 2000, their purchasing power went down $410 a month for inflation-adjusted earnings. You lost de facto $400 on your benefits over the last 18 years. So, and it gets even worse than that. 46% is how much you've been increasing your Social Security check in the last 18 years. Medicare Part B monthly premiums have gone up 195%. Prescription drugs have gone up 188%. Home heating oil has gone up 181%. Homeowners insurance, 164%. Medigap plans, 158%. Propane, 157%. Real estate taxes, 129%. You see what I'm saying here? The cost of all these things that you have to spend your money on are going up far faster than your cost of living expenses. So Social Security is tough now. It's going to be even tighter in the future. Gregory, anything you can do about that?
Yes. I'm a financial advisor. We use the guided planning system. It was a lady I had a discussion with this week about retirement. Not a lot of assets, going to be spending down, but she was recommended to come in and talk with me about that. And I said, yeah, I'll help her out. I'll handle the meeting. And we were showing her how her retirement's going to look, Social Security, pension, and spending down assets to cover needs. She's going to be good to 86 if she doesn't spend outside of the plan. You'd like to have a conversation, find out where you are on the path, how it's going to look. Give me a call. My office number is 504-832-9200. Go to GregoryRicks.com.
All right. See you in the morning for the Saturday Spectacular 10 to 1. I'm James Parker. We're winning at life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.